We're in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'll begin reading it at chapter 7 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 7. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou doest not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider, God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. Let's stop right there with the reading. I don't think we'll get any further than that this afternoon. I guess we perhaps all would like to have somebody once in a while that we could sit down with and just kind of talk things over and kind of tell our troubles to. You know, maybe you might get together with, a friend of yours, and you might have a cup of tea, and you ladies, and you kind of share things that were kind of going on in your life at the time. And it's kind of good to share what's going on. And the men, you know, when the men get together, they like to do that too. Maybe they'll talk about their work, or they'll talk about, you know, something they're trying to do at home, some work project, or they might share some common kind of complaints that they have about various things that are going on. And it's kind of an empathy that we have with one another, isn't it, to share some of those things in life. And I think that when we consider what Solomon has to say, much of what he says is like that. It has a sense to it that there is kind of a common empathy among certain things that we have to live with in our lives. And especially in this chapter, we see some of that going on. He says in verse 7, surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. Oppression makes a wise man mad. Now, when we stop and think about that, if you're a wise person, if you're a knowledgeable person, you might take somebody and say, "Well, I really know economy. I know economy. I know what can profit and what is a loss in my life." And maybe somebody runs a business and they're doing everything just exactly right in their business, and they should be turning a profit. But then, for some reason, there's a lot of bad things that begin to happen to the either in their own personal lives or in their business, and then all of a sudden they become quite anxious and frustrated over their business. And you can say the same thing maybe about families. Maybe you say, well, I don't know what's going on. My family is doing good. I love my wife. I love my children. I'm working every day. But it seems like everything is kind of going bad. And I'm kind of being oppressed for some reason. Well, doesn't that kind of drive you crazy? It does, doesn't it? And Solomon says that. You know, it's kind of like saying something that we all experience every now and then. And so when we think about some of the things that Solomon talks about like this, they're really quite practical. Even though when we look at them, we say, oh, I don't want to think about the bad things. But sometimes the bad things, the oppression, happens in your life. It just happens. Your car breaks down and you don't know what to do about it. I mean, you don't feel like, oh, I can't go out and fix this thing. What am I going to do? I guess I got to take it to the garage. Or maybe even the dishwasher breaks at home and you've got it full of dishes and you say, oh, come on. I don't want to have to drag all these dishes back out of the dishwasher and wash them by hand. You're just kind of frustrated over that kind of thing going on. Or maybe there's some kind of a little conflict, you know, with the children or something. You say, well, how come this conflict right now? I mean, I don't understand that. I thought we was getting along good, and all of a sudden, I've got all these problems with the children. You know, there's just things aren't going right. Well, these are just common things that happen to everybody, aren't they? And you might think you're doing everything right, but sometimes things don't go that way. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, he says. You'll notice that in some of these verses, there's contrasts that are going on. Kind of like similarly in the book of Proverbs. You find a lot of contrast in the book of Proverbs. Well, here in this one, he says, a gift destroyeth the heart. And we might think, well, how can a gift destroy the heart? Now, this is what he says in this particular, I'll read this quote. It says, even a wise person acts foolishly when he becomes a cheating oppressor. He becomes power mad and loses his sense of balance and restraint. And all those who indulge in bribery and grafts corrupt their own minds. Once they stoop to accept money, they lose the power to make unprejudiced judgments. So look what he says here. He says, a gift destroyeth the heart. When somebody slips you a $50 bill and says, can't you help me out here, do something, do such and such? And you might be tempted and say, oh, $50, I guess I can put that in my pocket and everything's going to be just fine. But then when you get back home, you say, well, the person asked me to do something a little bit on the shady side, not to tell somebody something, not to be truthful about something, and all of a sudden this thing, the gift becomes something that is oppressive to you. It becomes a burden to you. All of a sudden, if you don't have any conscience at all, okay, you might be able to just say, I'll take the $50 and spend it. But most people have a conscience about these things and don't want to do harm to anybody. And so it turns out to be a harm to oneself is what it does. And so, like, you know, we'll use a modern day example of this. Kind of like, well, I guess I won't bother to report this on my tax return. Or it might be, I'll go to the grocery store and they made a mistake. I won't bother to tell them about it. Or, you know, you have an opportunity to do an honest thing. Maybe you find a $20 bill outside the grocery store and instead of taking it back in and saying, I think somebody lost this. If they come back, would you give it to them? You just kind of put it in your pocket and walk away. And then all of a sudden, that thing, which seemed to be a good thing at the time, all of a sudden starts to work on your mind and you say, I guess I really shouldn't have done that after all. And so that's what Solomon is saying. He's saying that sometimes the thing that appears to be good turns out to be bad. And sometimes those things happen. And he kind of gives these little bit of wisdom along the way here. In verse 8 it says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. We might wonder, you know, the end of a thing. It seems that Solomon, talking about the end of a thing, perhaps he was thinking about something that happens maybe you've got a project that you're doing, and he says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning of it. It seems maybe the project starts out to be, and it seems like it's such a big task, and maybe it becomes somewhat of a burden on you to do the project. I suppose you ladies have certain things in the home that you just hate to start doing. I don't know what that might be. Maybe it's so you say, well, I've got to clean the house, and you just can't seem to get started. It's one of those things you kind of put off until, I don't know, I don't feel like doing it today. But once you, if you can get into the project and can get going with it, after you get it done, you look back and say, oh, I'm so glad I finished that up. It really needed to be done. You know, and us men, we have those kinds of things too, that we just put off and put off. You know, the women might say, well, you always put off going to the dump. This stuff builds up and builds up and builds up. You don't go. My wife is good at going to the dump for me. Now, you might say, well, that's a terrible thing to admit. But she does. She always picks the trash up and takes it to the dump. And, you know, I can leg it out to the garage and I can leave it there forever, it seems. But it's just one of those things that sometimes you dread doing. But, you know, I got a garage out there. I wish I could just get out there long enough to clean the stuff out of it completely, and I'd feel really good about it if I could get it done. Maybe you've got some of those little places in your home that it seems like you could never get to them, but if you could only get to them and finish the project, it's kind of like, oh, wow, that needed it. That really needed to be done. Well, maybe there's some things like that in a spiritual sense in our lives too, you know. Maybe it's my prayer time needs to really come first and I seem to put it off and off and off. Or maybe it's going and visiting that friend that it's kind of in the back of your mind. The Lord keeps telling, why don't you go visit so-and-so? Why don't you go visit them? Why don't you go? And you keep putting it off because it seems like you just can't seem to get there. Or, you know, some of those kinds of things that you want to do. And he says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I guess this is a really... This area is really something we can really speak to, isn't it? The patient in spirit. I think sometimes we have the attitude that patience is a bad thing, that it's somehow so daunting to us. And we never think that we have it mastered, you know. You might say, oh, I'm not a patient person. And maybe you're too quick to, you know, to act on issues and like that. But we find that he talks about patience here over against being proud. And, of course, there is a contrast there too, isn't there? Somebody who's proud, you really might not think of them as being a patient or an enduring person. So, you might think of them as being quite quick to respond, or maybe not at all, and certainly not willing to give and take on issues and stuff like that. And, you know, so he gives some contrasts that cause us to think through our situation, our life, what it really does mean to be patient and to be enduring with other people. And when we think of patience, we might think of self-control as over against pride. And, of course, much is said in the Bible in relationship to the behavior of those who are proud. Pride might lead to quick judgments. It might lead to a person thinking that they're always right and the other person is wrong. Pride might cause one to hold grudges. Pride might allow one to have a temper and to act on it. And pride might also have resentment involved in it, and just a number of different things. But a patient person, maybe you know somebody who's really patient and they seldom get angry, and a person who's patient and seldom holds grudges or has that kind of attitude that's hard to deal with. And maybe you want to be like that in some of the things that you do or some of the decisions that you make. And so he brings out these contrasts, and they show us something about ourselves, whether or not I'm not very patient myself. Maybe you do that sometimes. And if I'm honest with you, I would say sometimes I'm not very patient with my wife, because we'll get into a little argument over something, and I get a little bit too emotional about it, and don't stop long enough to listen. And I have to try to work on that. You see, we all have little areas that we need to work on like that. And so I think some of these statements help us to remember that, because he really talks about us. He talks about us. Also here he says, verse 9, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." So this one, he doesn't so much as give a contrast, but he does say, he expands upon this idea of the hasty spirit or the angry spirit, because it kind of forms the characteristic of what he calls a fool. And usually the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In other words, then they're not trusting in God. The person isn't trusting in God. And so an angry spirit can be a hasty spirit. Somebody who kind of flies off the handle, so to speak. So they can be, an angry person can be a hasty person. And of course it usually militates against the spirit. It takes the quietness and the peace away from the person. So you say, well, sometimes you can't help but getting angry. Well, that's true. Sometimes you can't. And anger is an emotion for all of us, and I think Solomon takes that into consideration. But that's why he contrasts it with the fool. Because the fool isn't a wise person. The fool is a fool, after all. The person isn't seeking the wisdom and knowledge of God, and so he is acting on that far end of the spectrum. Solomon isn't so much saying that you shouldn't get angry. He's saying the hasty person. Kind of like James talks about the tongue, when he talks about the tongue and how the tongue can be an unruly member, that it can kindle a great fire, and that we need to control the tongue. So, in other words, we have to have some check and balance on these emotions that we carry around in us. And so he's given those kinds of contrasts to help us to understand that. And this is where we can empathize with what he's saying, because we've all kind of probably felt that way at times. And then in verse 9 he says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry." I read that already, didn't I? "For anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Verse 10, "Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this." And so he says, well, perhaps you've all heard the wisdom, the thought, well, those were the good old days. And those days were better than the days we have right now. And sometimes we bemoan that fact, don't we? We kind of look at where we are, we compare it with the time that was before, and we have a tendency to filter out some of the things that were happened before, and we only see the kind of the good part of it, and therefore we say, well, those were the good days then, and the ones I'm going through right now are not quite so good. And again, this is a practical application of things in our lives. How should we look at the days that we are in right now, the time that we're in right now? We might want to ask ourselves that. Well, we have to be prayerful about that, don't we? We have to be considerate about those things. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou doest not inquire wisely concerning this. And verse 11, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that seek the sun. And so Solomon's thought with regard to verse 11 here, to wisdom and an inheritance. And as we think of the idea of an inheritance, if you have something that you've inherited, all of a sudden you have a responsibility that you didn't have before. You have to administrate this inheritance. Maybe you received a large sum of money, maybe you received an estate, perhaps you received an opportunity to do something with what you've inherited. And so he says, wisdom is good with an inheritance. But if you don't have wisdom with it, then everything can become very much a problem for you. And so, in other words, a practical area in life is that we seek the wisdom of God. And by it, there is profit to them that see the sun. And so the good that wisdom can give to an inheritance is that we see how to use it and to use it wisely. I suppose we all hope to get an inheritance someday, right? Maybe you have a rich uncle or you have somebody that's going to bequeath you something, and you might say, well, that'd be nice to get that right about now and to be able to use it in some good way. But to have wisdom to do that is another thing, to use it wisely and to honor the Lord with it as well as to use it for your own best advantage. You know, we might always say kind of in a way, well, I want to honor the Lord with it, but then at the same time, how are we going to use it that would be to the best advantage so that we can feel good about it? So Solomon talks about these kinds of things, and they're very, very practical when we stop and think about it. I think we'll stop right there because the time's about out anyway, and you may want to just think about those things this week or as you kind of read this over a little bit more perhaps and think about it. You may want to think about some of these things because they really are very practical, and it's the kinds of things that we deal with a lot ourselves at different times in our life. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we ask you to bless your word to us. Help us to make good decisions. Help us to be patient. Help us, Lord, to be considerate of others. And perhaps even there are areas, Lord, that you want us to do things differently in, and you're trying to help us to come to those conclusions. And so, Lord, as we are able to make those choices, pray that they'll be the right ones. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 362. I think that's the one. I belong to the King.